Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Impromptu Quietune Scene, the scene, the autistic artist and meditation. Your director, manager, and your artistic host for Impromptu Quietune Scene, the theme, autistic artist and meditation. Today is a special show. Today we're talking about CRPS and CRP and sharing Cheryl's her own personal story, and we're going to be interviewing Cheryl. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
Very good. And you?
Doing okay today. Thank you.
Wonderful. So maybe you could share the story that, you know, how did you get injured from your job?
Oh, well... It's a long story, almost 24 years, but it started with just a twisting injury, getting somebody up out of bed in the morning. Something as simple as twisting the wrong way, and it cost me almost 24 years so far.
24 years since then you're not able to work.
Yeah. Not able to do a lot of things.
So when did you notice the difficulty and the challenges, and what kind of doctors did you have to go to?
Well, I actually noticed, you know, something almost immediately. My knee swelled up like a grapefruit that day. And within the first couple of weeks, I noticed something was very wrong because my leg turned purple, and I really... the sensation changed. I really wasn't able to tell the difference between hot and cold anymore. And my leg felt like it was burning all the time, but it looked blue and cold. It was very bizarre. I was diagnosed within the first 6 months by my orthopedic surgeon. Initially, I saw my family doctor. He told me to go see the orthopedic, and from the orthopedic doctor, I was referred to pain management because that's really the only thing that you can do because there is no cure for this.
Yes. Were you able to continue working, or you had to be left off of work from after the injury?
I actually haven't worked since the day I was injured. I'm not able to for a lot of different reasons, but primarily it's the pain situation. It's unbearable. There's something called the McGill Pain Scale, which ranks different injuries and conditions and how painful they are. This is the most painful condition known to man. It ranks, I believe, I could be mistaken, but I believe 48 out of 50. The scale goes up to 50. And this is more painful than non-terminal cancer. It is more painful than fibromyalgia. It is more painful than having a finger or a toe amputated. I don't know if I said it's more painful than childbirth. It's unbearable. It's very, very difficult to live in that kind of constant pain. Some days are better than others. Some days, not recently, but in my past, you would not have known that there was anything wrong with me. But those are the good days, and those are the days that people would see me out and about. They didn't see the days when I could not get out of bed. And there are still days like that. It's difficult. It's very, very difficult. Every day, every task is a challenge.
What was the from when you first went to the doctors and you went to the orthopedic, even though when the orthopedic diagnosed you with the CRPS, what was their thoughts? What did they communicate with you with, and the steps they want you or the directions for you to go to?
Okay, well, first of all, back when I was diagnosed, it was not known as complex regional pain syndrome. It was known as reflex sympathetic dystrophy. This has changed names, maybe 70 different names for the same disease over the course of a couple of hundred years. So there are a lot of doctors that don't know very much about this in the first place. So back then there were even less. A lot of doctors, some of them even still to this day, believe that it's a psychological disorder. It absolutely is not. And it can be progressive. It can spread to other parts of the body. I don't even know. It's so hard because there are so many people, even emergency room doctors as recently as January, still don't acknowledge that this is a real disease.
And I know that from reading a bit about it, also you could get the RPS from the injuries, either with operation or without operations, because of the trauma experience of the injuries. Did you have knee surgery, or you went a different route?
From this injury, I did not have a surgery. All it was a twisting injury. The only thing that the doctors, like I said, they prescribed pain management. They requested physical therapy, which the insurance carrier denied. And they've discovered that if you're diagnosed within the first 6 months, you have a good chance of going into remission and not having problems again. But because the insurance carrier was not keen on treating me, all they did was prescribe anti-inflammatory medications. And it's a very sore spot to know that there was a chance that this could have, I could have kicked this if I had been treated properly years ago. It's cost me a lot. It's cost me the ability to take care of myself properly. And it's left me upset, to say the least, that there was a chance that this could have been healed. And for whatever reason, somebody decided to not allow my doctors to treat me.
From the insurance not allowing your doctors to treat you, then what did you do? Did you pay on your own, or what, or how did the doctors, or what was the doctor's story to help you?
Well, I guess there's a protocol with this, that the first thing they want to do is see if anti-inflammatories help, and from there they go to a host of other medications, and it's a little bit different now because it is better known, but back then you pretty much had to exhaust everything, and I've become a guinea pig of sorts because I have a spinal cord stimulator implant. And I've had first-generation implants. And you know, with any first generation device, even though they've gone through clinical trials, they're still improving upon them. And they're not, even now that they're not first generation anymore, they're still not ideal. They're still not perfect. And it's just a piece of the puzzle. I'm right now waiting for a treatment that was finally approved, but has been delayed now because of a backlog due to COVID. I can't even consider restarting physical therapy until I begin this treatment because I just won't get anywhere with trying to strengthen with the pain levels that I have.
Yeah, also too is the stress or the negativity of words of for people or sharing, or it could be family or it could be other people. How much it affects your pain level and to your issues?
Stress does affect pain. The pain levels cause more stress. It's a vicious cycle. And it's really, really hard when, you know, there are people that are close to you that don't believe you. It's really hard when you try to, you know, when you try to go get medical care and you're not believed. Like I said, I go back with this a long ways. And over the years, the list of symptoms that are associated with this has grown. I got to the point years ago where I stopped talking about the symptoms that I had because of the crazy looks that I would get. One symptom that is now a known symptom that years ago, when I brought it up, I thought I was crazy too, because sound can trigger a pain flare. And it doesn't make sense how hearing something could cause your legs to hurt. However, they're both neurological, and this is a neurological disorder. So it's in the nervous system. So sounds can trigger pain flares. It sounds impossible. And years ago, I started questioning my own sanity. But over the course of time, enough people have reported the same symptom that it's now part of the list. And I don't feel crazy anymore because, unfortunately, other people go through the same thing.
So anything like what do you feel like? Stress or somebody brings you something to you that might have effect on you? Do you feel that contributes you to your pain and how you're able to move?
Well, I can actually tell you that right now, I'm not a nervous public speaker. That's not an issue that I have. But one of the things that is triggered off by the CRPS is the fight-or-flight reflex. If I were to tell you what I'm experiencing right now, just from talking to you about what I've dealt with, I have, it's almost akin to an anxiety attack, although my brain knows that there's nothing to be afraid of. My body is acting acting like I'm in danger right now, and I'm not. But this is what the body does during a stressful situation when you have CRPS. And there's nothing stressful really about me talking to you or talking about my experience. But my body doesn't know that. My brain knows it. I'm not upset or anxious, but my body thinks that I am. And there's actually a treatment out there called cognitive behavior therapy where you tend to not discuss your symptoms and you try to use distraction techniques such as meditation or relaxing music or essential oils. And I use those techniques as well at different times depending on what my body is doing at any given time.
Yes. And does that, do you feel that helps you, the oils, does it relax you? Because I know for sometimes it can help people to relax. It can help autism. It can help to calm them. Do you feel that the oils, essential oils, calms you and relaxes you?
I do use a lot of lavender, which is a relaxing essential oil. I also use a lavender tea, which I drink sometimes before I go to bed. I have a blend of chamomile, lavender, and peppermint, all relaxing herbs that I, you know, a nice warm cup of tea before bed with those herbs can try to calm the nervous system a little bit and help me sleep. I don't like having to take medications. I have a bad reaction to a lot of them. It seems like I don't metabolize medications properly, and therefore, I do a lot of topicals. I recently started trying CBD cream, but without the THC, because I have a concern with how I would react to that based on how I've reacted to prescribed medications. And I am using the CBD cream with my doctor's blessing.
Sounds good. Are there, with the stimulator inside your body and the essential oils, and is your doctor happy with the results, how you're managing the pain, or what are they thinking for your long term?
Well, as I said, that it's every little thing is just a piece in the puzzle. The pain is so severe that it doesn't really seem like any one thing will make it go away. It seems like it's a little of this and a little of that, and you kind of chip away at it a little bit. My doctor is not happy with the results that I'm having right now, which is why I'm waiting for this new treatment. But that's not going to happen until February because, like I said, the backlog with the COVID virus. Pain management was considered non-essential treatments during the virus. As a matter of fact, one of the pain centers locally, the building itself where the pain center was housed was turned into a COVID facility. The doctors there, because they were not treating pain patients, started treating COVID patients. A lot of doctors were reassigned from their specialties to treat COVID patients. I had to wait months for an adjustment or initial programming on the new implant that I had put in because I had my surgery a week before the lockdown. COVID cost me some time in my recovery because I wasn't able to continue the physical therapy. I feel like I'm getting off track. That, unfortunately, that's another thing that happens with the with the CRPS. It's brain fog. You kind of lose track of where you are. I know we were talking about my medical care. I guess that's where we were. You know, how was the doctor feeling about this? And, you know, I might be further along if it were not for the COVID, but who knows? There's so many variables and so many unknowns with this virus. I keep going back to the virus. I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about CRPS, and my brain just can't focus. This is what.
How many years ago when you put the stimulator inside of you?
The first stimulator was, I believe, 2006. And at that time, it was a local company, which has now been bought out twice. So when I say I was a guinea pig, I was really a guinea pig. When they put this implant in me, I was still comparatively young, and they were only putting them in people who were in their 70s at the time because they were still testing it, and they didn't know how long the batteries were going to last, and it was... You know, I don't know. It's hard to be a guinea pig, but it's hard to sit back and not have any kind of treatment or any kind of hope.
Yes. And didn't you did you have to go back? Did they have to go back inside and do it again, or to rebuild it again? How many years does it last?
Yes. The first stimulator was put in 2006. It was a rechargeable battery, and the expected lifespan was 7 to 10 years. After 10 years, I got a message that the battery was wearing out. However, the year prior to that, it really wasn't functioning as it should have. And I believe it was because the battery was not strong enough anymore. I had a second stimulator put in, a different one, put in after that. On that battery only lasted 3 years, and I believe I was told that one should last 5 years, and now there's still some question as to how long the battery that I have now is supposed to last. So they will, as long as I have these stimulators in my body, I will need continued medical care for the rest of my life.
And is that something that you were able to manage, or is it something that it just is a protocol that, you know, that it's expected that for you to manage
You know, because the batteries have a lifespan, it has to be, I have to be managed by a doctor. Without the stimulators, I can't imagine what my pain levels would be like. I'm sorry, what was your question again?
You know, whatever the decision, you know, when you decide to do something, like it could be a procedure, an operation, This is the method to go through this, to say the procedure, the surgery, and this is what expected after the surgery to maintain it, and depends on what kind of surgery you have. Like you say, the one you have is going to be a lifetime span. And
yeah,
how many times do they allow to reopen you to re? To add new batteries or put a new system in?
I don't know. That actually hasn't even come up. But that's why when they first started doing this, they were only doing it on older people because they didn't know how the batteries were going to last. And they really didn't want to, you know, have to do that many surgeries. So they didn't want to try on somebody as young as I was. But because I had such poor reactions to medications, and I didn't even know how bad until after that initial surgery, but I was really out of options. The pain medications, they don't really help all that much. They just make you care less that you're in pain. And unfortunately, right now, where I'm at, the pain is so bad that I'm reliant on medications, and they really are only taking the edge off. If I were to take enough that I didn't feel that the pain didn't bother me, I'd be a vegetable, and I wouldn't be able to even take care of myself the slightest bit. You know, it's a balancing act. How much pain can I handle? to be able to function? How much medication do I need to be able to function and not be a vegetable? And every day it's different. And for every patient, it's different. Because not every patient can tolerate the implants. Some patients tolerate the medications better. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
Yes. So what is the... I know some of the your symptoms is the sounds and the sensory to touch, and then you're saying the temperatures.
Yeah, there's a lot more symptoms. There's color changes in my leg. There's swelling. There's... It changes hair and nail growth and sweating, and there's a whole host of symptoms. And there's a couple of good websites. I don't know if you want to list them. You know, it's rsds.org and Burning Nights, which is a charity in the UK. They both have a lot of information for anybody who's interested in learning about it. And this month is CRPS Awareness Month.
So what are some of the things that you would like the doctors to know more about the CRPS?
Probably the most important thing is that it is real. It's not in my head. There are physiological changes. I'm not imagining the pain. I'm not exaggerating the pain. I'm not looking for pain medication. And really, nobody who has this is. We don't want to be on pain medications. We're not addicts. We really, unfortunately, we need the medications in order to be able to have half a life that a normal person would have. It's sad. It's really sad. You know, and that's one of the other things. There's depression that's associated with this. There's loss. There's grief. It's painful physically and emotionally to live every day like this. It's hard for people who care about you to see you like this and not be able to do anything.
I hear you. So now, this can affect people's walking, or sometimes people can end up in a wheelchair. How you go from one day not able to injury, then all of a sudden now the person cannot walk. That has to do with trauma, another trauma experience, or what you with the film on.
It's actually very complex, which is why it's complex regional pain syndrome. The disease is progressive. In some people, it can become systemic. I have some vision problems that have been associated with this. I've developed thyroid disease, which may or may not be associated with this. However, there is a higher percentage of people with CRPS that will develop the thyroid disease. The thyroid controls the hormone levels. And because it is so variable, as I said, there are some days where sometimes you wouldn't know that somebody has this, and other days when the person can't get out of bed. At this point, mine has progressed. Stress, as I said, is a component of this. It's a whole package. You can't pin any one thing on anything because the stress aggravates the pain and the pain aggravates the stress. It's like I said before, it's a vicious cycle. You know, so a stressful situation could trigger a pain flare, but it doesn't mean that it's a new incident. It just means that it's a flare. And flares could go on for hours. They could go on for months. They could go on for years. It's different every time and for every person. And that's why this is in part so difficult to treat. The biggest thing is that there isn't enough research going on, and that's probably comes down to money. There's not enough money in researching.
Can CRPS also, characteristics could be similar to other diagnosis characters?
Yes. It can also lead to other diseases too, because it has an autoimmune component to it. There are a lot of symptoms that are similar, like I said earlier. The depression and the anxiety that come along with the disease, it's not so much that anxiety causes it, but anxiety is a component or a result of it. It can also mimic like an anxiety attack where, you know, like I said before, like the body believes that it's not like it's a mental thing that triggers the physical thing. It's a physical thing that triggers the mental thing. And that's a hard thing for people to understand and doctors to understand. Because if you're experiencing anxiety-like symptoms, you're going to be treated as an anxiety patient, even though it may be triggered off by a physical problem with the CRPS. And I think that's part of the lack of understanding in the medical field. Does that answer your question?
Because then it becomes challenging because, you know, nobody's going to know, you know, where it's going to lead to. And it's going to be different for everybody.
Yeah. You know, I can relate one story. Last year, I was suffering from a lot of abdominal problems. And I saw so many different doctors while they were trying to figure out what was wrong with me. It was almost assumed that it was a spread of the CRPS, even though a lot of doctors don't believe that it can spread. But because surgeries could cause the disease to spread to other parts of the body, none of the doctors that I went to see wanted to be the first one. They discovered there were several things that I needed surgery for, but not one of the doctors wanted to do the procedure first because they were all afraid of the other issues and the CRPS. And that becomes another thing. If there is a surgical procedure, there are certain medication protocols that they need to follow that they don't have to follow with your average patient because they want to try to stem a possible spread.
For women, can it affect women's issues?
That's something that I haven't really seen a lot of research on. However, as I said, they're still learning about it. It doesn't appear to be at this time a related symptom, but that doesn't mean that in the future they won't find out that it is. If you speak to a lot of people who have it, there seems to be some sort of a correlation, but I don't know that anybody has done research into it, so I can't say definitively. But as I said, I have these vision issues, and only recently, especially in this country, outside the country, they're a little bit more progressive, but in this country, they're only just starting to connect the vision issues to the CRPS. So I can only qualify it and say that at this time, they don't know for sure, that because I haven't seen research on it.
And for the CRPS, how much does that affect on your sounds and your sensitivity to the sounds you have and your temperatures or the touch?
Oh, my gosh. The touch, it's a little embarrassing to say, but there are plenty of times where I can't wear clothing. My skin everywhere gets so sensitive that any touch is painful. I believe that the implants made some, you know, they've made a bit of an improvement because a breeze used to bother me years ago. And it's a little bit better with that now, but it's still super sensitive. As far as sounds go, I live in a suburban community where just about everybody has a landscaper. And when the landscapers come around, I have to put on sound-deafening headphones. I can't – I don't know what it is. My ears don't hold the foam earplugs. So I can't use anything that goes into the ear. I have to use these things that people use when they go to shooting ranges or lock myself up in the house and close all the windows. I'm so sensitive. And music, loud bass music or drums, that's painful. Let's see. You asked about touch. You asked about sound. You asked about a third thing. I don't remember what that was. Temperature. Going from warm to cold right away is enough to send off a trigger. I used to go to pool therapy, and during the summertime, they would have the air conditioning on in the locker room, and I would have to get dressed so quickly so that I didn't lose the heat from the pool. Just going from the pool into the locker room would undo everything, all the good that was done from the therapeutic pool. For that reason and a couple of other reasons, the skin sensitivity and the sensitivity to the chemicals in the water, I had to stop going to the pool therapy. That was one thing that was very helpful for me, but my body just couldn't handle it. If that even makes sense, that something that was good for me could be undone just by walking from one area to another.
Yes, because the temperature can change how your body feels if you have autoimmune issues. And you said that the RPS has a component of autoimmune.
Yes, it does have a component of autoimmune, yeah.
And maybe that's the reason why. That makes sense, right?
I suppose. I don't know if that's something that they've drawn a conclusion on medically, though. Like I said, there's a lot of things that make sense. If you talk to people in the CRPS community, you start to see patterns. And those patterns eventually get noticed by the doctors, which then end up becoming research and symptoms. You know, they just don't know enough about it.
Yes.
It's sad living like this. It really is. It's a struggle every day to try to live normally. And some days I fail. You know? And that's a hard pill to swallow, pardon the pun, but, you know, it's hard. And
yeah, that's a fascinating, yeah.
It's being that it's so hard to live like this, it's hard to explain to somebody else how bad you feel. Sometimes you don't want to tell them how bad you feel. You try to suck it up and just keep going. And it comes out in other ways. You'll snap at somebody when you don't mean to snap at them. You know, you'll get upset or you'll start to cry because you have no control over your own body. And there's nothing you can do to make the pain go away sometimes. It's sad.
Yes. Does it affect, you said that you got the injuries was in your knees. Does it affect your balancing, your walking abilities?
Oh, well, absolutely. And unfortunately, it initiated in my right knee, but it spread. I now have it in both legs. My right leg is worse than my left. When the pain is not under control, and at this time it has not been under control for a long time, I have pain in my right arm. I never know what to expect out of my body. I never know if I'm going to drop a coffee cup on the floor. I never know if I'm going to fall when I stand up to try to change my pants to get ready for bed. You know, you try to hang on to stuff as much as you can. Sometimes you need both hands, and it's hard. I mean, I keep going back to that and saying it's hard and it's sad, but, you know, those simple little words sum up a lot. It's hard and it's sad. You know, I keep trying to avoid the subject. I'm in a wheelchair now. For a while I was in a manual wheelchair, but by using my hands to get myself around, I caused the flare to get worse in my arms. I'm in a motorized wheelchair now, and I can really only rely on my left hand, and I'm right-handed. It's hard. You're constantly making adaptations, and your body will come at you with something that you're not aware of, that you're not expecting at any given moment, and it's hard. I mean, there are certain things that you can predict. I mean, I can predict, you know, if I could look at the weather forecast and say, oh, we're going to get some cold weather. I expect that I'm going to have some problems. Or, oh, there's rain in the forecast. I know that I'm not going to be feeling very well. There are certain things that you could predict and certain things that come at you out of left field that you wouldn't even expect. You could be just standing up one day and be laying on the floor the next minute and not know what happened.
Yeah.
I've actually passed out from the pain.
And how long are you out for, you know?
You know what? It's happened only a couple of times. One time it was long enough that I came to when an ambulance was being called for me.
Oh, yeah, somebody called? You're out that long that somebody had to call for you?
Yeah. That particular incident, I don't even know. Yeah, I was out long enough that somebody had to call an ambulance for me. And it was a direct result of the pain. I ended up hitting my head on the floor. And because I was sitting in a chair, I didn't feel well, and I sat in the chair and fell face first into a cement floor.
When was this?
That was a long time ago. That was early on in this illness. Like, it's been a long haul. It's been a long 24 years. It's several lifetimes.
Yes, it's sad. I hear your voice.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But, you know, there's something for others out there who experience the COPS to hear your story, and that everybody can learn from each other.
You know what? That's what's so good about the support groups. There's an in-person support group, which has kind of been gone virtual since the virus hit. There's a lot of online support groups. As a matter of fact, that organization in the UK that I mentioned, Burning Nights, has an online conference coming up next week, I believe it is. I like being connected to groups that are outside the U.S. because, as I said earlier, I don't know what it is about American doctors. It's like they only seem to want to treat a symptom and not treat the body as a whole. I guess the difference between Eastern and Western medicine, but even the UK seems to be more progressive in understanding that this disease affects the whole body and not just one limb.
Yes, because you said even if you have injuries in the right leg, it spread to the left. Then all of a sudden, the other limbs got weak, and it spread to your hands. And then,
yeah,
you know, you end up in the wheelchair, and then the other hand became weaker. So,
yeah, I really like, need to get the pain under control so that I can try to get into physical therapy and get literally back on my feet again.
Now, maybe we could go over what now the COPS is the result of, it's from an injury, a trauma of an injury, either also could be a trauma from surgery after the injury also. Right. So,
well,
it could be unexpected.
All right. My very first pain management doctor said that he believed that there may be some sort of a genetic component to this as well, because the same injury could happen to two different people, and one will develop CRPS and the other one won't. This could be as simple as somebody cutting their toe on a seashell at the beach. A car accident, a broken bone, a surgery, or in my case, just a twisting injury. You know, I have friends that I'm connected to online and some in person. They took a fall. It was a car accident. One of them fell down the steps at a football game. Hers progressed very quickly. She's a fighter. But she's struggling every day, too. I'm not going to get into a lot of people's, you know, personal stories. That's their story to tell. But a big part of this is this the fear of opioids, because some people were functioning. I know one person in particular who was working until the opioid crisis hit. And the doctors cut his medications, and he was no longer able to go to work. You know, there are so many factors that play into this disease and so many components of the disease. again, I'm back to it's hard.
Yeah, so maybe you like, would you like to share what symptoms are in the character symptoms?
Gosh, there is such a long list. It affects the circulatory system. It affects the nervous system. It affects the bones. You can start to develop osteoporosis because of this. It can weaken the muscles. It affects the hair growth, the nail growth. It affects the autonomic nervous system. It can become centralized and affect the central nervous system. It can affect the brain function. One of the bizarre things that happens to me is I can be, and this is going back to when I was capable of doing more and being on my feet more, but I used to be able to multitask, and now I can't. Because my brain is receiving pain signals all the time, even with the implants that are supposed to block them. That if one more thing happens, like if somebody starts asking me a question and I'm in the middle of doing something, I could drop everything that I'm holding just because somebody spoke to me, because my brain is so overloaded. It's affected my memory.
It's and you say you have one of the symptoms is what they call it brain fog.
Yeah, brain fog. It affects your memory. It affects your ability to find words, and some of that is from the medications, but. There was a medication that I was on. I was not able to do simple addition and subtraction to balance a checkbook, and I couldn't find words at all. I'm no longer on that medication. It was dangerous for me. But, you know, that's what the protocol is. It's trial and error. Try this medication. Try that one and until you find something that may help a little bit. Even without the medications affecting my brain, I have difficulty. Again, it's hard. Some days it's hard to do math. Some days it's hard to do language. It's hard. I wish I had a better word than it's hard. but
it's challenging.
Yeah, it
doing
is.
Doing different tasks of life tasks, everyday life things you have to do is challenging because you're not too sure if you're going to be strong on your feet or even you're in a wheelchair. When you say you're in a wheelchair, are you able to reach where you need to reach without something falling? It's learning to do everything on your own. So that you could be independent as much as possible you can. Whatever obstacle or challenges that comes through your life, that's what's important. People don't realize that your independence is what's important.
You learn to adapt to this. That's for damn sure, because it's always throwing a curveball at you. You know, from minute to minute, how you feel could change. You could be fine one minute and not the next.
Now
it's very, very unpredictable.
Now, just like you said, like sometimes somebody could say something and it caused you to have a flare up or the sound. What about also the, people not always to choosing the right words? Can that energy from their words also affect the way you're able, your mobility to walk or to be able to sit or to move properly?
Well, absolutely. Like I said, the stress can increase the pain. It's part of the symptoms of the disease.
Now, you said that could be a lot of people, like you say, you had a twist. Somebody could fall and cause a fracture. You
right.
Further, do the doctors feel they could be that we have something on set and takes years of symptoms to come out, or symptoms through after an injury that comes out?
Well, this is the strange thing. I've had this for almost 24 years now, and I figured it's fairly stable. I believe that the implants kept it from progressing quickly. It has progressed gradually. I kind of thought I was pretty stable with this, but I was thrown some curveballs. I developed some paralysis that, you know, some people had said that they had it, and I kind of even questioned it because I thought I kind of was an expert on the CRPS and kind of knew all there was to know because I had it for so long. But I was kind of shocked, and then after it happened to me, I did some more research, and you know what? Paralysis is another symptom of this.
Yes, and like you said, it could also affect the women issues, and it also could also some of the symptoms could be a part of another another disorder.
Okay, you mentioned before. Okay, with the CRPS, the only way to determine if you even have CRPS, there's something called the Budapest criteria, where you go down this checklist, and if you have enough of these symptoms, they say, okay, it's probably CRPS. But if you develop a specific symptom, like I had the abdominal problem, the only way to determine whether it's a CRPS spread or if it's something else is to do a myriad of tests and rule one thing out. I have some tests that I actually have to go for starting tomorrow. They don't know if it's another spread of the CRPS or if it is something else. So I have to go for some tests. Now, unfortunately, one of the things that CRPS does is it does affect the automatic symptoms in the automatic system in the body. It could affect your heart, and it could actually, I think they've linked it to cancer also. It's crazy what this disease does to your body. I feel like it's eating me alive from the inside out some days.
Is it because it's painful or with the words you should, chosen to use, can you explain more detail?
Well, for a lot of different reasons. Yes, it's because it's very painful physically. Yes, because it's eating away at a lot of things. You know, it's eating away at my happiness. I'm scared that it's eating away at other parts of my body. Like I said, you know, the thyroid issue, you know, the vision issues. Now, you know, I'm going to get tested for my heart, and we don't know if that's part of it. You know, even if it is part of it, or if it isn't part of it, if I'm experiencing symptoms and it is part of it, but I'm experiencing certain symptoms, I may need to be on heart medications. I know people that are, because it has the CRPS is linked to heart problems in them. It's linked to something called mast cell activation, which kind of looks like an allergic reaction. I've experienced that too. I haven't been diagnosed with it, but I've experienced the symptoms of it, maybe not often enough to have it, you know, diagnosed, but I know I have it. There are days where my face looks completely swollen, and the only thing that I've done is exist. You know, I haven't eaten anything that I shouldn't eat. I haven't been exposed to anything that would cause those symptoms other than the CRPS flares. It's a strange thing.
Yes. Anything else would you like the doctors to know, or just people?
I guess it is as bad as somebody says it is. If they say that it hurts that bad, pain is subjective. One person may not, you know, be in as much pain as somebody else. But if somebody is telling you that they're in that much pain, they probably are. Especially if they have physical symptoms that you can see, like the color changes.
Yes, definitely.
Nobody wants to make this up. You know, if you have this, you're struggling to try to live a normal life. You don't want to live like you're in pain. I don't think anybody would.
No. You know, people who have or been diagnosed with CRPS, there is different methods or different procedures. Some people choose surgery. Some people choose no surgery. And then you have physical therapy and you have occupational therapy to go to. And then there's other, like you said, other things that doctors might suggest or give a couple different thoughts, what, you know.
Oh, please, I could go through, you know, a mile-long list of treatments that I've tried. I've done acupuncture. I even tried Reiki healing. You know, what was that?
Did that help you?
Like I said, everything seems to help a little bit. The acupuncture, I don't know. It helped at first, and it almost seemed like it was sort of losing its effectiveness or something, that I was going so frequently. I can't go anymore. I've developed scar tissue where the needles were placed years ago. The Reiki healing, I don't know. It's definitely relaxing, which is conducive to, you know, making the CRPS better because of the stress act, the way the stress acts on it. I don't know. Meditation, like I said, the essential oils. And the worst part is when people tell you think positive or try yoga or my friend had it and they did this and it was great. Well, every person is different and every person responds differently with this disease. It's great that something helped your friend, but it may not help me. And you know what? When you have this, you've pretty much tried everything because you don't want to live like this. And when somebody tells you, you know, think positive or pray harder, don't you think that we've tried that? You know, it's almost an insult when somebody comes up to you and says, have you tried yoga? Yeah. It's actually hurtful when people tell you, you know, like that you could think yourself healthy. I mean, you could wallow in your misery, but I don't think anybody really does that for an extended period of time. You know, there is loss and there's grief, and you are going to be, you know, sad over and over again because it keeps changing. But I don't, like I said, there's the cognitive behavior therapy, but in my opinion, for me, being honest about what I'm feeling rather than trying to pretend it's not happening so I don't notice it, it's not being honest with myself. And it's almost like I'm treating myself as bad as the doctors who don't acknowledge my pain. So I feel like I have to acknowledge it to be true to myself. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's how, you know, everyone, you know, expresses their story.
The cognitive behavior therapy is another component, and I do utilize that at the times that I feel it's appropriate for me, but it's not, I can't stick my head in the sand and pretend that I don't have this. I just can't do that. It's too hard to live with to pretend that I don't have it.
Yeah, or think things differently or put some focus on something else. But, you know, if the pain's that strong for you and even for you to focus on something else can lead to a challenge, and that's your story. So for you, you express it and you talk about it, and that helps you, right, by talking about your pain level?
Well, like I said, it's being honest with what's going on with my body. You know, and there are certain times where I could push it aside, and I will push myself beyond what I should. And it's a balance. Sometimes you push yourself because the enjoyment that you get out of something is kind of worth it to suffer later. And you know you're going to pay for it. I liken it to, oh gosh, now I'm losing the term. Opportunity cost. It's something like in business when you, oh God, I'm not going to express myself right. For everything you do has a cost. You know, whether, you know, I can't explain myself. Anybody who wants to know what I mean, look up opportunity cost. It's you have to give up something when you get something, basically. And for everything you do, there's going to be something that you have to, it's a balance, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you push the scale in one direction and you'll do something that you didn't think you could do or you probably shouldn't do or you ordinarily wouldn't do, and you can spend days in bed recovering because of it. But even still, the fact that you were able to do it might be worth several days in bed. I don't know.
Because you feel like you did it what you had to do, even though it might put you in bed for hours and days, but then you felt good about what you did.
That's it. You know what? For a few hours of feeling normal, feeling like a normal person and doing things that a normal person would do, the opportunity cost is time in bed, and sometimes that's worthwhile.
Yes, because that's an opportunity, because you had an opportunity to express, you know, your skills and what you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna read a poem that I wrote. It's a haiku called it Blissful Meditate. Tranquil energy, blissful words, meditating, mind drips quietude.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. And then I wrote lavender. Yoga by the bay, tranquil of lavender scent, common of the waves.
Well, that's pretty.
Thank you. And then we have tranquil energy. Tranquil energy, connecting mind through soul, spirit, meditate in steps.
Very nice, Maria.
Thank you. And then we have rainy days. The storm is coming, clouds brewing in the distance. Stay safe in my home.
That's nice. Stay safe in my home. I like it.
And then we have balcony. On my balcony, clear view afar, eyes can see, reviews death for life.
I can see how important your new home is to you in these poems.
Thank you. And then we have birds chirping. You know, chirping, birds chirping. The sounds of birds chirping, bright sunshine in my window, mind drifts in distance. And then,
very nice.
Thank you. Anticipating changes, vivid colors, leaves, feeling cool breeze of autumn, embracing nature.
And beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. Maestro Conduct. It's Maestro Conduct. The orchestra plays the metal. Yeah, I don't know how. Meloudious. Do you remember how you pronounce that word?
Melodious.
Melodious, thank you. So the orchestra plays Miola's joyful sound, fills me with calmness.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you. Grateful. Lessons of my life, be grateful for what I have, life abundance.
I like that one.
Thank you. And we have Greek dancing. Wearing Greek costume, embrace culture of Greek dance, dancing in rhythm.
I like Greek music and Greek dancing. I like Greek food, too.
Yeah, it's good. And then we have Greek islands. Sail through Greek islands. Enjoy frappe on the boat. Transfixed by the scenes.
Nice.
Curtains, characters on stage, theater box playing its role, curtains wide open.
Quite a gift, Maria.
Thank you. Whimsical Garden. The Whimsical Garden, treasures inside to unlock the mystery box. And these are all high school poems.
Nice.
harp. Harp playing rhythm, heart of soul entwined mentally, sounds acquainted. And we have scene of grief. Broadcast in the news, melancholy scene of grief, boiling deep sorrow.
Oh, that one's really deep, Maria.
Yes, thank you. And we have blissful forest. Fairies sit on rocks. Elf whimsical character, water sound trickle. Then we got smiles. Smiling emerges, no cries, only laughter remains. Joyful sounds entwine.
Very nice.
Thank you. So we're going to be ending the show soon. And any wisdom out there you would like to share for the new, for people being diagnosed, any hope and, and direction and thoughts for them?
Don't give up, no matter how much you want to. Don't give up. Don't take the first doctor's word for it. Keep trying. If the first option doesn't work, there are other options. And they're going to continue coming up with new procedures and treatments and options. Don't give up.
Be strong.
Yeah.
And knowing
Thank
yourself.
You for the opportunity.
Yes. And you know yourself. And you got to decide what method and treatments is going to work for you. It's not just what you have to go through. It's also the outcome afterwards and maintaining it afterwards and all that takes time.
Thank you for this opportunity, Maria.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on and sharing your story. And, and to let everybody know out there, November is the CRPS Awareness Month. And their color is orange. So everybody to have to have a good night and also to read about it and so everybody can have an understanding and also read more about it to make your choice. All right, so we'll say good night, Cheryl.
Good night, Maria.